In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in honor of week 17 of the NFL season, I'd like to share a brief football story with you. Every year I would go to at least one Bears game with my family, my whole family, and every year that was in the frigid cold. And one year my father looked at my mother and said, "Why do we put ourselves through this? Why don't we just go to a preseason game?" And then we went to a preseason game and understood why we go much later in the season and freeze. But I remember this specifically, of all the games we ever went to. I was sitting next to my father, and it was before the first play of the entire game. First play of preseason, first play, first time that these men were going to touch the football in a professional setting, in front of the nation, in front of their fans. My father leaned in and said, "Watch. Watch the first play. You always lead with what you have best. You always lead with what is strongest. And the first play, be it run or pass or how it goes, will dictate the offense for the Bears for the rest of the season." And being the Bears, went nowhere, the season went nowhere, and once again, we had our typical Bears experience. But that stuck with me, that you always start with what is best and what is strongest. It makes sense that you start any presentation, any explanation, any conversation with what you have within you that is the strongest. If you are trying to convince someone of something, you start with what is strongest and you grab their attention with that. And today we have St. John the Baptist preparing the way of the Lord, preaching, as St. Mark tells us, repentance. In a few short days, we'll celebrate Christ coming to St. John the Baptist, being baptized himself, rising out of his baptismal water, and starting his public ministry, starting after his baptism to preach and to teach, to heal and to save. And as soon as he comes out of that baptismal water, the first message he preaches, his strongest point, the one thing that Christ wants us to know above everything else, if you were to boil his message down into one sentence, he speaks it. And he says, in the line of John, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near or in front of you. Repent, because I, Christ himself, is the kingdom of heaven in our midst. Repent." That is the central teaching that Christ brings to us. And everything else that comes out of him and out of the gospel goes back to that central point. Love, because right now we don't truly love as much as we can. We need to repent in our love. Repent and change. I should specify that in Greek, the word repentance means to change your mind, to become different. Yes, sometimes we feel guilty. Yes, sometimes we need to have remorse over our sins and the way that we've lived our life. But more importantly, we need that foundational change and shift and everything else. Forgiveness, because you have not yet forgiven. Repent and change and learn to forgive. Love, because you do not truly understand what love is yet. Repent and change and learn what it is to love as I, Christ, love and sacrifice myself in love. Take care of the poor and needy, because right now you do not fully understand what it means to be responsible for the lives of others. Repent and change your attitude about charity and generosity. In a silent prayer that I read before the epistle, it says, "You have established repentance as the way of salvation." Not a way of salvation, not an aspect of salvation, but you have established repentance as the way of salvation. Recognizing that right now, we are not who God intended us to be. that we need to change and become better, that we need to be sanctified and be holy. As St. Peter says, be holy as your Father in heaven is holy, as Christ dictated to Moses in Leviticus, again, be holy, you are a holy nation. Are we truly holy right now? No. But we are working towards it. We are repenting and we are changing. We are working towards holiness and sanctification. And that is the mission and message of Christ. That each and every one of us will take a real and honest look at our life and say, where am I flawed? Where must I change? How can I become holy and sanctified? Where must I repent? Where must I ask for forgiveness? And where must I ask others to hold me accountable to become stronger? And why do we need repentance? Why do we as individuals need to change? It's so that we can become better versions of ourselves and better serve our brothers and sisters around us. If we expect everyone around us to do all the work, all the sanctification, and to reap the benefits without putting forth any effort of our own, we are not contributing to the salvation of the world. And remember that Christ came for each and every one of you. He also came for the person sitting next to you, the person outside these doors, the person you've never met, the person who was born thousands of years before you, and the people who will be born thousands of years after you. And it is your responsibility and duty to each one of these people, each one of your brothers and sisters, to become a better and more holy version of yourself, so that the world in which they live is a better and more holy version. This is the message of Christ, and this is what he presents. Repent, change, become better than what you are right now, more holy and more sanctified, because Christ himself, the kingdom of heaven, is in our midst.